We're going to learn Daf Yud Aleph from Masechtas Yevamos. We're going to start from the Mishnah on the top of the Yom, the second line of the Daf. So, Zok the Mishnah, Hagiyayris, V'hashvuya v'hashifcha. So, this is talking about a girl, obviously was a goy at the time, or she was a Jewish girl, but captured and living among the goy. V'hashifcha is a slave, maidservant, sheniftu. That were redeemed, or they became a ger, or they became freed, meaning they went from out of the Jewish society and they became part of the Jewish society. And they did this before the age of 3 years old and a day. So then their ksuba can still be 200, which is the full amount, as if they're a basulim, and their husband can expect that they should be a basula, because as we know, if anything did happen before the age of three, it'll grow back as if nothing happened. Only after the age of three, they get affected by a bio or something like that. So therefore, since our case is talking about a girl, in each case, who's becoming part of the society, the Jewish society, under the age of three, whatever happened before, it doesn't matter, because now by the time they're 3 years old, they should be okay. Okay, so that's our Mishnah. So Zokta Gemara, so we're talking about, one of the cases that we included over here was that they went through Geiris, and we're talking about Geiris that was under 3 years old, which obviously makes her a Ketana. So on that, the Gemara comments, Amar Rav Huna, Ger Katan Matvilon Oisai Aldas Bezdin. If you have a Ger that's under age, under the age of, let's say, Bar Mitzvah, they can't make their own decisions. And Rashi says we're talking about a case here where the parents are not involved. As we'll see later, the Gemara is going to bring up that case. For now, there are no parents involved, so we don't have anybody contributing the das, because part of going through Geiris is, as we know, of course, you have to go to the mikvah. If it's a boy, he has to do a milah. But also, one of the things is you need kabbalas mitzvahs. You need to know, there has to be some sort of acceptance and some sort of kabbalah. You need das. So if there's no parent involved, Bezdin can be the das, can be the thought process. So the Gemara now asks a very interesting question. My Kamash Malon, what's the chiddush that Bezdin is able to add the das? Because the zchus uloi, because clearly to become a Jew is considered a zchus. It's better for him to be Jewish. And as we know, a general rule is that you could always do something for a person to a person's advantage, even without him knowing. And shalai b'fanav doesn't necessarily mean physically. It could mean also that he's not here. But the point is, when a person is not in front of us, obviously he doesn't know about it. So even if he is in front of us and he doesn't know about it, but you could do something to his benefit. Because Tanina, we already learned. If that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, if that's the chiddush of Rav Huna, to teach us that it's a schus, or rather to teach us that because it's a schus, therefore Bezdin can do it for him. So then Tanina, we already learned that. Zochel Olam Shalai Befanav and Chavel Olam Shalai Befanav. You're always able to do something good for a person, even if he's not here. What you cannot do is you cannot do something that's to his detriment when he's not in front of us. So if that's true, so we already know that anytime, however you define good, anytime something is good, we could always do it for their benefit, even if they don't know about it. So of course, in this case, to become a Jew is just another example of something where you're doing for his good. So you don't need his das. So what's the chiddush of Rav Huna? So the Gemara says more like this. I would have thought, we already learned in Masechtas Gittin that if you give an Eved, a slave, the option of becoming Jewish, do you want to free him and I'll become a Jew, or would you rather stay and be a guy and be able to do whatever he wants to do? That the halacha is that generally speaking, he'd rather stay free. That is the metzias. So in other words, it's not necessarily an advantage or totally good for him to become Jewish. The halkaimalon, as we said, an Eved would rather stay as a slave and be able to do whatever he does. So therefore, over here also, you might extrapolate that, and you might think that applies to every single guy, would rather stay a guy. Kamash Malon, so that's Rav Huna's Chiddush. The Chiddush is as follows. The Hani Mili Godol. That's only talking about when he's already an adult, the Tom Tom Di Yisuru, that he already knows what else he could do out there, so he now is enthralled with these other things, so he doesn't want to become Jewish. But ultimately, it is be'etzem good. It is something that really is good. It's just that, again, some people get distracted. So when he's an adult and he got distracted already, so then he thinks to himself, I don't really want it. So you say, you want it. He says, no, maybe I don't want it. So it's not considered necessarily, you can't make the argument for him to say that it's a zchus. But ultimately, it really is good. So therefore, a katan that's not distracted and not interested in other things, so therefore, it is definitely a zchus, and that's the chiddush of Rav Huna, that since it's a zchus, Besson's able to contribute to das and do it for him, even if he is not himself saying that he wants to go through the geiris. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Le. Maybe I even have a proof. Now, as we'll see in a moment, we're going to try to bring a proof. We're going to say it's not a proof. Now, the fact that it's not a proof doesn't slug up what we're trying to say. It doesn't disagree with what we're trying to say. It's just not a proof. It's not a proof to the point. So what would be the proof? Because we learned in another Mishnah, in our Mishnah, Hagiyaris Vashvuy Vashivcha Shiniftu Vishiniskayru Vishinistacharu Pchusas Mibunai Shal Shanaviyayim Echot. So that's the case of our Mishnah where we have, it includes other cases also, but it includes the case of a Giyaris that's under 3 years old. So we see clearly, my love, that Filinu Al Das Bezin must be that we're talking about under 3 years old. Clearly, obviously, she's a Giyaris. She's a Katana. And still we see that Bezin is giving her the Das. Bezin is adding, is giving that, is doing it for her sake. So we have a proof that you can do things for the sake of a child even without them knowing. They can go through the Geiris. So the Gemara says, Loi, Hachav Maaskinon, the case of our Mishnah is talking about Begershin Iskaya Bonav of Anais of Imai. We're talking about where the parents are involved, and the child is just going through the Geiris with the parents. There, Denichalu Hubamaida of Avun. Over there, the child will do it because that's what the parents are doing. So the way Rashi learns is that since the parents, they want to follow what their parents are doing. So since the parents are doing it, it looks good for them also, and therefore the child, so to speak, is agreeing because they now are saying it's not because someone else is giving them the ratzon and the desire. They're doing it because they want it. They want it because their parents are doing it. As opposed to our case, or Rav Huna's case rather, is talking about where there are no parents over here. So since there are no parents over here, that's why the chiddush is, we could say they would want to do this even though no one else is convincing them to do it. We say since it's ultimately good for them, it's a zchus, and that would be the chiddush of Rav Huna. So comes along Rabbi. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hegdilu Yichodin Limchos. So this is a very interesting chiddush. So even, and by the way, Rashi says this is talking about both in the case where the child goes to the Geiris with the parents or without the parents. We're talking about in both cases. The point is that since they did the Geiris underage, so it wasn't a complete Geiris. They weren't really Mekabel Mitzvahs themselves. And as Tosfos says, I mean, it's two different Pshatim and Tosfos, but basically Tosfos says, this whole Geiris is really a Geiris Midrabanan anyway. So since it's only a Geiris Midrabanan, when they grow up, they get to make a decision whether or not they want to continue to live the life of a Yid, or they can choose to be Moichet. They can choose to say, no, thank you, I don't want to do it. They can undo it, and they can now move on and do whatever they want. Okay? And that's a statement that we accept. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Abaya. So Abaya asks, what are you talking about? We have our Mishnah, Giyaris Vashvui Vashivcha Shenifta Vashenizkaya Vashistachru Pchusos Mibosh Benoy Shalai Shana V'yomechot. That's our case of our Mishnah, where they went through the Geiris under the age of 3. Ksubosan Masayim. So we're talking about that's a Ksuba of 200. Now what are we talking about over here? We're talking about that they went through Geiris when they were 3. They got married as a small girl, and now somehow they got divorced, and they want to, and they deserve a ksuba. And the ksuba is going to be a full 200, because again, our mission is focused on the basulim part of it. Now, but if you hold that when they grow up, they're able to undo the whole thing, you think that we're going to give them, halachically, we're going to give them a ksuba that they're going to go and use as a goy? I mean, first of all, even if they're a goy, they were never really married, and they don't even deserve the ksuba. But let's leave that aside for a second. But stamazoy, why would we give the money to somebody who's a goy if they decide they don't want to be a yid, so they don't get the halachas of a ksuba, which is the Jewish concept? So and our Mishnah clearly says they deserve 200. So it seems like our Mishnah is not really worried about the option that they might decide to go back to being a goy. So the Gemara says, you're right, l'chi godlo. We're talking about that you're not going to give her the ksuba, the 200 tzuz right away. We're only talking about when she grows up. But the Gemara says, that doesn't answer the question. L'chi godlo nami mimcha. So, v'nafka. Maybe when she grows up also, she'll decide at some point she doesn't, or she no longer wants to do this, and she'll unwind the whole geiris. Gemara says no. Since she already grew up, she's already 12 years old, but bas mitzvah, and now and knowingly accepted the fact that she is a Jew. So then the halacha is that they can no longer be meicha and decide that they don't want to continue to be the Jew as they are. They have a one time shot. A one time shot if they go continue practicing as a yid. So then in the Hanami, that's their decision to continue to be a Jew. But if they decide not. So to answer the question specifically about the ksuba, the answer is we will give them the ksuba once they decide that they want to continue to be a yid. If they don't want to continue to be a yid, then the concept of ksuba does not apply. Masiv Rava. Rava has a slightly different version. Rava also asks the same question, but from a different proof. Elu Nairis, we're going to start the third paragraph. It says, Elu Nairis Sheyesh Lahen Knas. So this is talking about that if a guy lived with a Nara, under a Naira, so he asked, and this was not by marriage, he just decided that he wanted to live with her. So, you have to pay a knas to the father if you don't want to marry her. So, and what are the examples that the Mishnah gives? Habala Mamzeres, even talking about that she's a Mamzeres, obviously that's a Chiddush, that you would think that she doesn't deserve because she's a Mamzeres, but she still does. Bala Nasino, even though they're not part of the regular fold of Klal Yisrael, Bala Kusis, let's focus on our case, Bala Giyoris, and even on a Giyoris, if she's a Naira, so you have to pay the Knas. Bala Shvuya, and the same cases as us, if she was captured, and now she is part of the society, Vala Shivcha, all of those cases, Shaniftu, Vishen Iskairu, Vishen Shtachru, they all became freed, they became back into society. So they came back under 3 years old. So that means, again, that nothing happened to them after they were 3 years old. In all those cases, Yesh Lahen Knas. And then if this guy went ahead and lived with them, they're going to have Knas. Now, again, if you're going to tell me now that when they grow up, they're going to be able to be Moicha. Now, this is obviously going according to the Shita that says, but even though it says Naira, it's going according to the Shita that says this applies even if she was under the age of 12 years old. So one second, the problem is, Yavina lo knasa, azlava achla b'giyusa, so we're talking about, let's say she was, for argument's sake, 10 years old, and now you're gonna give her the money, you're gonna give her the knas, and then she's gonna become a goy. So the Gemara answers the same thing. L'chigodlo, you're not gonna give her the money until she grows up. L'chigodlo nami mimchayev enafka. Maybe when she grows up, she'll decide that she doesn't wanna continue with the geirus. And the Gemara answers the same thing. This is, but in Rava's version. But once she grew up one day, one moment, in other words, there was a moment in time that she decided to continue with the Yiddishkeit, and she didn't make a machoshav, then it's, you can't go back on it anymore. Okay, so it's the same conclusion that says, once she positively decided that she wants to continue to be a Yid, so then that she's a Yid forever, and now she's a Yid, so you're going to be able to, that now the guy is going to have to pay the Knas. So that's Rava's version. So the difference so far between Abaya and Rava is that Abaya uses our case of getting married. You have to pay the ksuba. And Rava uses the case of the knas by Naira. So we have two proofs. So Abaya lo yoma karav. Abaya brings the proof from ksuba, and it doesn't bring the proof from knas, because the answer is hasa. He doesn't like that idea because hasam knasa. Over there, the whole concept that the guy is paying is a punishment. So hainu taimo shaloye choyte nisker. So over there, we would say, even in other words, even if the Mishnah knew Rabbi Yosef's halacha that she could become a goy, we would still force him to make the money because this guy misbehaved. This guy was taking a girl he should never have been with in the first place. So we're going to punish him. Even, you're right, it's true that she might take the money and she'll become a goy, but I don't care. We're going to make him pay anyway. We don't want him to think that he can get away with it and not pay. So therefore, we don't have a riot one way or another. It might be that there's overriding policy that he has to pay no matter what. Rava lo yamar kabaya. So Rava uses the example of knas and not the case of ksuba, because ksuba hainu taima shaloi tei kalba ein of loitziyah. And over there also he says, and meanwhile, when he married her with the notion that she's a yid. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone through the marriage. So the chazal will still protect this type of girl that is in a marriage, a yiddish marriage, even if there's a possibility that later it will turn out that it really was nothing, but it doesn't matter. For the time being, this is a Yiddish marriage, Chazal will protect even that case. So again, you don't have a proof to whether or not the Mishnah contemplated whether she could become a goy. Because even if it's possible she become a goy, we would still have given her the ksuba just to protect that notion, because we don't want her to treat her as if it's a nothing. So therefore, Abai and Ravi each have a reason why they don't hold like the other Shita. But ultimately, the bottom line is that if we learn, we can learn everything that the Mishnah means in those cases, you chayiv the money right away, but you don't have to make the payment until we establish one way or another that she's not going to become a goy. Next Mishnah says as follows. Hagadol shebo'al katano. So this is talking about, now even though we're accustomed, when we see the word gadol and katon, we usually think of them as 12 and 13 years old. But in this context, that's not what the Mishnah means. Hagadol means over here a regular age boy. Shebo'al katano. Katana over here doesn't mean 12. Katana over here means under 3 years old, and consistent with what we've been talking till now. So she's under 3 years old, meaning the bia is nothing, as we already described. And similarly, the katon shebo'al gadol, even though we're talking about a boy, and to us, under normal circumstances, we think of under 13 as a katan. That's not what this Mishnah, that's not what the word means in this context. In this context, it means under the age of 9. Because we say under the age of 9, a boy is not old enough to be involved in these type of things. What he does is does nothing. Okay, if a katan shabala gadoila, and a katan under 9 years old that lives with a girl, and the Gemara, the Mishnah so far puts it all together, umukas eitz means that she got hit in Oysam Makayim, and that might have affected her Besulim. In all those cases, Ksubas and Masayim. Still, even though, so, certainly in the kids where they're underage, where it doesn't make a difference, obviously they're still a Besula, but even the Mukasayit's case, where they're not technically a Besula anymore, they lost their Besulim, still, Divri Rav Meir holds that they get a Ksuba of 200, because nothing really happened. The Gemara will explain why. However, the Chachamim say Mukas Eitz Ksubasa Monim. When it comes to Mukas Eitz, and she really is, again, as I said, technically not a Psula anymore, even though she never lived with anybody, but the Psulim is not there, and I guess according to the way the Chachamim understand it, that's what we're looking for over here for deserve the 200, so therefore her Ksuba is reduced to 100. So the Chachamim in the Mishnah seem to say that's only relevant to the Mukas Eitz case. Now we have another case in the Mishnah. Basula Amana Grusha V'Chalutza Min HaNesuin. Let's say they were married. They were married at one point, and that marriage ended. But they were married, even just for a brief moment. Ksubas and Mana. When they get married a second time, they are, their next marriage, their Ksuba is only going to be 100, as if, because they were already married once before. So the way Rashi learns is because there's an assumption that the husband and wife were together. That's the way Rashi learns. Even if they were just married for a short enough period, that it's very unlikely that anything happened. But that's the assumption that we give, and that's the halacha that we're going to work with. The Rashba happens to learn that the reason is because once you've been married, the concept of giving a girl a ksuba of 200 is because this is her first time. So therefore, over here, it has nothing to do with whether or not there was enough time or not. That's not the issue. The issue is simply, this is the second time. Once it's the second time, so you had your opportunity already. You were already once married first. This is no longer your first marriage. So therefore, you have a ksuba of 100. Okay, now the top of Yud Aleph and Beis, the Mishnah continues. If they've been married before, once again, the second husband can no longer expect that she should be a Basula. Again, regardless of what may or may not have happened in the first marriage, is not relevant, he no longer can complain. And then the Mishnah says, just continuing with the Mishnah before, the opposite. Hagiyaris v'ashvui v'ashifcha. So if you have a giyaris, or again, girl who was captured, or a slave, that shenifta v'sheniskair v'shenistachuru, that was either redeemed as from the captive, or she went through geyaris, or she became freed as a slave. But in each of these cases, yisairis al-benai shalashan v'yayim echad, they did this over the age of 3. So now, what may have happened over the age of 3 really counts. So therefore, ksubas and mana, they only get 100, and they don't have a tainus pesulim, because again, since they were over the age of 3, we're going to assume that something happened. And that's the expectation. Again, regardless of whether or not something actually happened, but there's that presumption that something may have happened. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Besulim don't go back after the age of 3. So if something did in fact happen, then for sure she's not a Besula anymore. The Chiddush is that even though we have no real reason to believe that anything happened, we still assume that something happened and she lost her Besulim. So here Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Katan Abal Gedoyla, again, Katan over here means under the age of 9, who lived with a Gedoyla, also Mukaseitz, he makes her in the same category as a Mukaseitz, even though it didn't really count as a Bia, but something happened. Something happened, so therefore she loses her Psulim. So when Rav Yehuda, who was both, by the way, a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, so first he learned by Rav, he said in the name of Rav, he then went to Shmuel's yeshiva, and he repeated the statement to Shmuel, Omar, and he said that she's no longer a basula, so Omar, so Shmuel answered, not true, ain't mukaseitz bebasar, a little kid can't make her a mukaseitz, it's nothing, under the age of 9 years old, it's nothing, so therefore, it's not even a mukaseitz. And there are those that say, without Rabbi Yehuda going back and forth, again, the same thing, just without Rabbi Yehuda involved. So if, again, is under 9 years old, Rav Omer also mukaseitz, he does at least make her the din of a mukaseitz, or Shmuel Omer ain't mukaseitz bebasar, and Shmuel says, no, under the age of 9 years old is nothing, as if nothing happens, it's not even a mukaseitz. Okay. So that's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So it comes along the Gemara. What the Gedolah is? Well, even over three. Masiv Rav Oishia. So Rav Oishia now asks, Gadol Shabal Katano. So again, here we're talking. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about a Gadol that on a Katana over here is under 3 years old. The Katan Abal Gedolah Umukas Eitz. Again, this is our Mishnah and the case of Mukas Eitz. Subasim Asayim Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says they all get 200 because again, nothing really happened to them till now. It wasn't a real bia. The Chachama Mukas Eitz Subasim Manu. And the Chachama argue only on the case of Mukas Eitz, which leads us to believe and implies that the case of the katan, meaning under 9 years old, is not part of the machlekes between Reb Meir and the Rabbanan. Meaning, everybody would agree that she'd still be 200. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. So therefore, it would be a kasha on Shmuel that says, excuse me, it would be a kasha on Rav. It'd be a kasha on Rav who says no, that under 9 years old makes it a mukaseitz. So which the Gemara answers, no, it's not, that's what we meant. Amar Rav Hachika Amar, what the Mishnah means to read is as follows. Gadol Abal Gadana V'loi Klum. When she's under 3 years old, we all agree that it's nothing, and Rashi explains, as the Gemara itself says, the pochus mikan, kenoisen esva ba'ayin domi. It's as if you're putting your finger in your eye. What that means to say is just like if you put your finger in your eye, it makes your eyes tear. You get tears. If you take your finger out, and it stops, and then you put your finger in even later, it also, you start tearing up again. So it makes no difference about what happened in the past. It's what's happening now. So the same thing under the age of 3 years old, it makes no difference what happened in the past, it's only what's going to happen in the future. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Put that in their own case. And then you say like this, the Katan Abal Gedolah, and when you have under 9 years old that lives with a girl, also Mukas Eitz, that's the same thing as a Mukas Eitz. And therefore, Mukas Eitz Gufa plugged to the Rav Meir Rabbanan. And the case of Mukas Eitz is a Machlekes Rav Meir Rabbanan. So yes, it's true, they only argue in the case of Mukas Eitz. But once we establish that a Katan is like a Mukas Eitz, so we only have to say it's the same thing. We now know the case of Mukas Eitz. So if I define it as a Mukas Eitz, it's a Mukas Eitz, and that's the Machlekes is about a Mukas Eitz. Okay, so that's a Machlekes. Now we have to define, overall, big picture, what's going on over here. So, Amri Rama Bar Choma, Machloikis Kishehikir Bo. The Machloikis over here between Rameir and the Chachamim, about whether you pay 100 or 200, it's all talking about where the husband knew all along that she was a Mukaseitz. He knew this going into the marriage. The Rameir, Madame Lelabageris. Rameir says it's no different than an older girl. Just like an older girl, even, because physically, eventually, over time, the Basulim goes away. Now, nothing ever happened to him. She's still technically a Basula in the sense that she's never been with anybody before. But the Basulim itself disintegrates over time. It's not going to be there anymore. So, a Mukaseitz also, nothing ever, she didn't really do anything. But Lamaisa, because of her activities, the Basulim is no longer there. So it's the same halacha category, but therefore she's still considered fresh, she's still considered new, and deserves the 200. The Rabbanan Madame Ela Le Ba'ula, and the Rabbanan say, no, Lamaisa, something did happen, as we'll see in a second, and therefore she is no longer considered brand new. And therefore she gets only the 100. That's talking about where he knew.
where he knew going into it, so therefore we set those expectations.
But if he didn't even know that she had this problem of mukaseis, then everybody would agree that it would be like a mekach tois, because he was expecting a basula 100%, and she's not 100% a basula, so therefore it's a mekach tois. Everybody, according to this version of the Gemara, everybody would agree that that's nothing. It's not what I bargained for, so I can get out of the marriage. Now let's just clarify. What's this machlekes? What's the machlekes? Rav Meir and the Rabbanan dependent on? Rav Meir, Amay Medami LeBageres. Why do we consider her to an older girl? Nidmaya LeBeulah. Why don't we say that she's mamish Beulah? Because the Maisa, she was hit over there. So the Gemara says Beulah is out of a Maisa Bidei Adam. By Beulah, she interacted with another guy, which is what is the key over here to make her go down in value. Haloi is out of a Maisa Bidei Adam. This girl, she didn't do anything with anybody. So there's no reason for her to go down in value, and therefore, halachically, and the expectation is that she should be considered the same as a basula. Even though she doesn't really have the physical basulam anymore, but she's no different than a basula, and therefore gets to be treated as if she's a basula. That's Rab Meir's way of looking at it. Verabbanon. The Rabbanon say, no, Adam Adamilay la ba'ula. Once you're comparing her to a ba'ula, Nidmay la ba'garis, right? Why don't the Rabbanon compare her to a ba'garis? Also, who didn't do anything wrong? So the Gemara answer is very simple. Or the Rabbanon's explanation is very simple. Bageris la'isavibah ma'isa klal. La'isa, nothing changed. Oh, isavibah ma'isa. Over here with this girl, she did something to change. So she's not, you know, this pristine new girl anymore. So therefore, you're right, she didn't do, you know, she didn't live with another guy per se. But la'isa, she's not this basulim anymore. So the expectation is lower. Okay. Yeah. Right, that's an example. So this is all talking about where the husband knew ahead of time, and therefore the ksuba is either 100 or 200, depending on who you hold like, but he knew, but if he didn't know, he was tricked and it's a mekach tois. But if the husband didn't even know that she's a mukas eitz, ledivrei hakol v'loy klum. So we said, like we said before, that if he didn't know, even just the mukas eitz is enough of a change that he can consider that a mekach tois. Everybody would agree that you get nothing. So the Gemara says, one second, that's not so simple, because we have another Mishnah coming up. Masav Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman has a contradiction. So the case over here is talking about where a guy got married, and as we'll see in a moment, clearly the case was the husband thought that she was a basula, and she wasn't. So he aymeres mukaseitzani, and her argument is, yeah, I'm a basula, I'm technically a basula, it's just that, you know, a mukaseitz happened. So v'hu aymer loyki ala drusasish at. And he says, no, he's arguing that somebody actually lived with you, and therefore you deserve nothing. So it's a machlekes in the Mishnah over there, but we're only quoting Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lozer. That's the same sheet to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lozer. I mean, they both say, Nemenes, we believe her version of the story. Rabbi Shua argues actually and says, we don't believe her version, we believe his version. Okay, it's a machlekes that we're gonna get to in a couple weeks. But but we have a machlekes over here that she, and we say that she's nema. So we see by in the sense that she's nema, but what's her argument? Even her argument is that she's a mukaseitz. And this is talking about a case where the husband did not know, by definition, by the fact that, you know, that's her argument, is she didn't know. So, if so, that means that even when he didn't know, she still has a tainus basulim. Because if you hold, like we said in the line before, according to the way Rami Bar Chama learned, that when they didn't know, you get nothing. So what's her argument? I'm a mukaseitz and I get nothing? What kind of argument is that? She'd still get nothing. So it must be, the Mishnah clearly holds, that you do get something if she is a mukaseitz. And that's why she's arguing to at least be, at a minimum, a mukaseitz. So based on that kasha, Rava says it cannot be that when loy hikerba they get nothing. Ela amar Rava ben hikerba ben loy hikerba, whether he knew or not, that doesn't make a difference. The Rav Meir masayim. Rav Meir holds you always get 200, because according to Rav Meir, as we'll see, according to Rav Meir, it's nothing. The fact that she's a mukaseitz has no impact on the story whatsoever. It doesn't matter whether he knew or not. A mukaseitz is still considered 100% good girl. Now, the Rabbanon are an interesting shita. Hikar bav mana, if he knew, then she'll get her 100. Lo hikar bav aloi klum. If he didn't know, then that was a trick, and according to the Rabbanon, we're going to consider it a mekach tois, because he didn't know. But even if he knew, he was only going to give her 100. However, so that's the way Rava explains the shita's chacham. However, v'hodabe Rava eventually
retracted from that statement. Which statement? Retracted from that in the Rabbanan there's a difference between Hikarba and Loi Hikarba. In conclusion, as we're going to see in a moment, now the pretty much the rest of the Yomid is going to go through this proof. But in conclusion, Rav is going to say, according to the Rabbanan, also it's 100 whether he knew or didn't know. Remeir, again, that's not going to change. Remeir holds she's 100% a Basula. For our purposes, she's a Basula. It doesn't matter whether he knew or didn't know. It doesn't make a difference that she's a Mukasei. She's still a Basula, and you always get the 200. The Rabbanon, which initially Rava wanted to make a difference between Hikarba and Lo Hikarba, we're going to prove that even according to Rabbanon also, it makes no difference. It is always 100 whether he knew or not, and it's not considered a Mekach Tois. Now, here's the Gemara's proof. Now, this is going to take us all the way down to three lines to the bottom. This is all one long proof that Rava himself agrees that even according to the Rabbanon, it doesn't make a difference whether he knew or not knew. According to Rabbanon, it's still going to be 100 zuz. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. So first we have to have the case. Ketzad hoitzah shemra. So this is talking about the case of hoitzah shemra, where if a husband comes to Beis Din the next day and says, my wife is not a basula, I think she was mezana. And it turns out that he was lying, that really she was a basula. So the halacha is that he has to pay a knas of 100 shekel. So that, fine. So that's the case of Hotzah Shemra, that's what we're talking about. So as the Bryce itself says, Bolabez and Va'amar Pliny, and he says to the father, Loimasasi Labitcha Basulim, I didn't find your daughter is not a basula like I expected. So the halacha is yesh edim shesin satachtav yesh la ksuba mana. So this is a funny way to say it. It says that if there are edim that she was mazana, so now her ksuba goes down to 100. So of course the Gemara right away jumps on that and says im yesh edim shesin satachtav baskilahi. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? 100, not 100. What is this relevant to the ksuba at all? This is a much bigger issue at hand here. Is if she was mazana, she is chayv skila, and if she's chayv skila, then she dies and she gets nothing. So that cannot be the regular reading of the Braisa, but rather Hachi Ka'amar. Okay, so let's just read the Braisa correctly. That goes as follows. If there are literally Eidim that can prove that she was Mazana during the marriage, so then she gets Skila. That's Pasha. Zinsameikar, but let's say there are Eidim that she was Mazana, but the Znus happened before they got married, so then Yeshlak Subamana, she still gets her Mana. She still gets 100. Okay? Because, okay, she's not a Pesul anymore, but she still gets 100. Now, V'omer Rav Chiya Bar Abba, to explain this Braisa, so again, as I said, this is all one long proof. There's going to be a back and forth how to explain the Braisa. And ultimately, we're going to see that according to Rav, Amukas Eitz still gets 100. Okay, but meanwhile, what we're saying is, even if she was Mezana, but the Znus happened before the marriage, even if she was Mezana, she still gets 100, even though the husband didn't know. So obviously, if he thought she was a Basula, and it turns out, right, because that's the whole case over here, he's only waking up the next morning and making his complaints, and it turns out that she was really a Basula, that she should still get 100. Again, even if she mamish, it's a Mekach Toi, so he thought she was a Basula, and it turns out that she was a Ba'ula. Okay, that's what Rav Sheshes wants to say. That's basically what the Braisa says. However, Umas of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said, that can't be. If there's a Mekach Tois, why are you getting 100? Because we learned, let's go back, a similar case. A guy marries a girl thinking that she's a Basula. She says, yes, it's true. When we got engaged, I was a Basula. By the time we got married, I'm not. But that's because somebody forced himself on me. And the way Rashi learns is that, and your field got washed over, just like if you owned a piece of property that got ruined, that's your problem. Same thing over here also. I'm your property, and if something happens, it's your problem. So I shouldn't lose out if something happened to me against my will. It's your mazel, as the way Rashi learns. It's your mazel. So therefore, it's your loss. That's her argument. Her argument is that, yes, it happened, but it happened under your watch, not my fault, so I don't deserve to lose. It's your fault. It's your mazel. The Hu Aimer, and his argument back is, again, this is another Braisa, his argument back, Loiki Ela Ad Shaloy Rastich, he says, no, if anything, this happened even before we got married. So you tricked me when we got engaged. You lied to me, because you already knew what the story was, and you didn't tell me then. Okay, Vahaya Mikhi Mekach Tois, the less lo klal. It's a Mekach Tois, and therefore I don't have to give you anything. Now, the implication of anything means I give you zero, not 100, like we've been saying till now, I give you zero. And this is all Rav Nachman talking.
Okay, and so far so good. So that's a contradiction of whether she gets 100 or 0. The Amalhu Rav Chiya bar Avin. Rav Chiya bar Avin says, no, after... Okay, so he says, now let's look at what the situation over here. Rav Nachman was the one who asked this kasha. So after Rav Amram, V'chol Gedolei Hador Yosvi, they were all sitting there. Ki Amar Rav Sheshes Lahoshmaitzo. They were, where Rav Sheshes was the one who originally said that she gets 100. That when she argues Mishar Astani Nasti, that she still gets 100. So he said that it gets 100. The Kasha Luhu, and they have the Kasha from Rav Nachman's Brisa that says she gets 0. Uvishani, and their answer is, my. Their answer is, yes, we agree it's a mekach tois, but not that you get 0. Rather, it's a mekach tois from paying the full 200. Avomona isle. But you still get the 100. Now, that was their answer. That was Rav Chia's answer. Rav Chia's answer was, yes, we agree that she tricked him, but the truth, that's fine, so she reduced from 200 to 100. Va'at amr less like all, but Rav Nachman was the one who says you get nothing. So I don't understand. Make up your mind. If it's a mekach tois and you deserve to get nothing, then you should get nothing. By definition, mekach tois means that the sale was unwound, was nothing. So why are you saying that you go from 200 to 100? It should be, everybody should agree you get 0. The Omar Rava. Now remember, just a reminder, this was all trying to prove what Rava Shita was, whether a mekach tois gets 0 or gets 100. Now finally, Rava chimes in. So Rava chimes in to explain. It's a good shot. It's a good question. Because in general, mekach tois legamri mashma. Whenever you say the word by mekach tois, by definition means that it wasn't a good sale. We agree and acknowledge that the sale did not go through. So if it's not a good sale, you get nothing. There was no sale. There's no deal. If there's no deal, there's no deal. You get nothing. So if that's true, we're still left with a problem. So when is the case that you ever get 100? If we agree that, and you're calling it a mekach tois, and we agree that mekach tois means you get 0, so when do you ever get 100? The Elo Kashahach. So what do we do with the fact that the Brisa says you get 100? So Tiritz Ve'emahachi, the way to explain it is like this, a little bit different than what we've been saying till now. Im Yesh Edim Shezinsa Tachto. Again, let's go through the basics. If there are Edim that she was Mamish Mazana Beskilo, that's for sure. You get Skilo, that's it. She was in Eshes Ish, she was Mazana. Zinsamei Kara, if she had the Znus from beforehand, also V'loi Klum, then you get nothing. And we all agree, because she was supposed to be a Basula, and in reality, she is absolutely not a Basula, so to Mekach Tois, she gets nothing. Ah, so when is the 100? Nimsamukas 8, Yesok Suba Mana. Okay. But here we finally add in, if she's a Mukas 8, she gets 100. Now, you get 100. Which is fine, because we do have a shita that says 100. But the problem is, v'harava d'amar l'rabbanan. But remember, when the Rava originally explained the Rabbanan shita, how did he explain? He said, lo yikir bo v'lo yiklum. If he didn't know, it's a mekach tois, also mukas eitzin, you get nothing. He did say, it's true that Rava said by the Rabbanan say 100, but he said that only if you knew. And here our case is talking about lo yikir bo. The whole argument between the husband and wife is that nobody knew. So if nobody knew, then it should be, you get 0. And so but Rav over here, his whole explanation is that you get 100. So it must be Rav's original statement that it makes a difference between Hikarba and Loy Hikarba is no longer accurate. Rav retracted from that, and Rav agrees. If you're dealing with Amukas 8s, then it doesn't matter whether he knew or didn't know. That's not relevant. Amukas 8 says, okay, fine. She is diminished in value that she doesn't get the full 200, because she's not this perfect basula that we originally thought. We thought, fine, we'll agree that you reduce it from 200 to 100. But Lamaisa, it's not a mekach tois. It's not a mekach tois. You can't say, oh, this is not what I bargained for. So you still get something. Whether or not he knew. Obviously, if he knew, it's better. But even if he didn't know, it's not a mekach tois, and you still get 100. So, Lamaskan, and the conclusion of the Gemara is as follows. According to Rav Meir, Ben Loy Hikarboy, whether he knew or whether he didn't know, you get 200. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, it makes no difference. Because remember, the explanation of Rav Meir was that Mukas Eitz is no difference than a Bigeris. A Bigeris means that the girl just got older. And just like a girl, as she gets older, her Basulim reduces over time. So Mukas Eitz also, her Basulim reduced over time. But she's not a Ba'ula. So therefore, she still deserves the 200. And the Rabbana holds the same thing, except they do hold there's a little bit of a difference. Mukas Eitz is not really the 100% anymore. She's not 100%, so she doesn't deserve the 200. However, she's still, it's also not a Mekach Tois. Whether he knew or not, doesn't make a difference. So it's not a Mekach Tois. She is a Ba'ula, she is a Mukas Eitz, and a Mukas Eitz still gets the 100. Okay, so that's the Machlekes, it comes out Lamaskana Gemara, that the Machlekes Rameir and the Rabbana makes no difference whether the husband knew or didn't know. Doesn't make a difference. That's the expectation. Okay, so we'll just do a few more lines in the Gemara and we'll stop. The Gemara now towards the bottom, three lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Kansa Rishon L'shem Nisuin. Let's say you have a guy who marries, the first marriage. He married her, no problem. V'yeshla Edim Shaloi Nistra. And now, not only did they get married, but there is Edim that watched the entire duration of the marriage, which, let's just make it simple, the duration of the marriage was 10 minutes. To make it simple, they watched for 10 minutes and nothing happened. Loi Nistra. Inami Nistera, or even if they did go into a Yichud room, let's say, V'loi Shasa G'day Bia, but they were only in the Yichud room for 2 minutes. Right? Can you imagine? They go into the Yichud room, 2 minutes later they come out of the Yichud room. Clearly nothing happened in those 2 minutes. Eina Sheni Yachalito and Tainas Basulim. Even so, right? Even though we have basic proof that nothing happened and that she should technically still be a Basula, still the second husband cannot expect her to be a Basula, Shairei Konsarishon, because the Maisa, she was married. That takes us to the end of Yud Aleph Beis. Now let's just read the first like 3-4 lines on Yud Beis Amud Aleph and then we'll stop. So okay, so that's what this Braisa says. This Braisa says once she's married regardless of anything happening. Even if we knew nothing happened, still the second husband has to set his expectations that she's not a Basula. So Amar Rabba. So Rabba says Zoysay Maris. I guess from here we can learn. Kansa Becheskas Basula V'Nimsas Beulo Yesh Lak Subamana. So I guess we have to say that even in a regular case, when he thinks that she's a Basula and she turns out to be a Ba'ula, she should still get 100, because that's what this case over here is. This second marriage is talking about a guy who had every right to believe that she was going to be a Basula. And she wasn't, and still he has no complaints. And still, okay, we agree it's 100, because by definition, as we saw in our Mishnah, anytime you've been married before, and this is the second marriage, it's always 100. And even though he thought she was expected to be a Basula, still, he has no complaints, so it doesn't matter whether it's the first marriage or second marriage, you're still gonna get 100. That's what Rabba wants to say. To which, Rav Ashi argues, and we'll end with Rav Ashi's statement, Rav Ashi Omar, no. Really, even in a regular first, it's a first marriage, and she's expected to be a Basula, and she's not. So that's a Mekach Tois. We all agree. Now, if she's really a Ba'ula, that's a Mekach Tois, and she gets nothing. He's out. However, in this case, Vishani Acha Shairei Kansa Rishon. In this case, there was a first marriage. We know that in that first marriage, nothing really happened. There's every reason to believe that nothing happened. Still, that's just that you cannot set those kind of expectations. Once she was in a marriage before, even if the marriage only lasted for 2 minutes, it doesn't make a difference. You have to know that she is no longer considered a Basula. It would be great if she is, but if she's not, you don't have a complaint. You have to understand that has to be your mindset, and therefore you cannot complain that it's a Mekach Tois. Okay, we'll stop over here. But of course, therefore, Rav Ashi means to say that in a regular case where she has not been married before, and she turns out not to be a Basula, of course that's a Mekach Tois. That's a classic Mekach Tois. She's supposed to be a Basula and she's not, so that of course is going to be a Mekach Tois. We'll stop over here.